You're listening to WSLR, and this is the Jumping Mueller Report. I'm Julianne Ohanian. Yesterday, I sat down with a candidate for City Commission from District 3, Shelley Freeland Eddy.
Well, my name is Shelley Freeland Eddy, and as you know, I'm a candidate for City Commission for District 3. Yeah. Elections are coming up on March the 10th. Early voting begins on March the 2nd, and for those that vote by absentee ballot, they've already received their ballots, and so those should be coming in. You know, they've been coming in pretty much every day. Lived and worked in Sarasota since 2002. I've found it to be just a wonderful place, a diverse community, a community that embraces the arts, a community that cares about both the young and the old, a community that allows professionals like myself to grow and thrive, and then a place where we can work and serve. It's District 3, and as you know, City Commission elections are right around the corner on March the 10th. We are about 3 weeks out, and the elections are for Districts 2 and District 3. I'm running for the seat in District 3. District 3 is like the center of the community for Sarasota, and so we have been clocking a lot of miles, making contact with our residents and voters since the beginning of the campaign.
So where are you from?
I'm from Kentucky. Went to undergrad and law school at the University of Kentucky. I'm practiced about 2 hours away in Charleston, West Virginia, right out of law school, and then moved here to Florida in 2002, eventually sat for the Florida Bar, and have been an admitted practicing attorney in Sarasota for over 10 years. Our firm is the Freeland Eddy Law Group.
What kinds of topics do you tend to focus on as an attorney? Who do you represent generally?
Well, our practice includes family law, criminal law, asset planning, which includes wills and trusts and some guardianship matters for both, you know, minors and adults and seniors that need help with transitional matters, you know, related to health or just day-to-day management. Also work with small business owners. Sometimes it's with regard to incorporation. Sometimes they may be expanding their business and need a partnership agreement, or maybe it's just a general contract review question. So our practice is pretty broad.
Yeah, and what kinds of experience in law or other kinds of work do you think has well prepared you for doing work on the City Commission?
Sure. Throughout the years that I've lived and worked here in the community, I've sat on appointed advisory board positions. The City Commission has several advisory boards that assist in our community, and I've sat on two of those boards for each the Human Relations Board for over 6 years, and the Community Redevelopment Advisory Act, or it's known as the CRA Board, for almost 4 years. And in that capacity, I served as both chair and vice chair of the advisory board. I would present at least annually to the City Commission, and our board would make recommendations as it relates to economic development. And so through that process, along with the work on the Human Relations Board and some of the other community involvement activities that I've had, I've been in a position to be able to best communicate the needs of our residents to the City Commission. And during the last maybe year or so, in terms of involvement, a lot of people in the community that are not super involved have had a question as to what is the City Commission's role, how does it best represent my neighborhood, what's the process, and how do I get to my City Commissioner if I have a question. And that lack of knowledge was pretty widespread, and I was surprised by that. And mm-hmm. So as I began to work and advocate in our community, I made a decision that I'd like to be able to try to help fill in that void, that gap of information between our residents that are hardworking taxpayers and the commission, which is tasked to help best represent their interests. And so that was one of the main things that got me thinking, how can I contribute more? And the opportunity came with the vacancies at the commission level to kind of go to the next level in my service.
How do you envision like bringing more people into the City Commission to be able to use that as like a public venue to get their needs met?
Well, I think part of it is communication, and the city is doing a very good job for folks that know how to access them. I mean, it's done by notice. It's publicly noticed. It's done in advance. You can go to the website. You can download the agenda and any background material. You can watch all of the meetings on TV. Everything's televised, and it's open for the public. But if you happen to be someone that doesn't have time to be engaged on that level as a sitting commissioner, I feel like I have a responsibility to have regular contact with my district to make them aware of important issues that are being brought to the commission in advance of the agenda stage. When the commission task itself with taking on action, it usually goes through a workshop phase before it gets to the commission level. At that time, members of the community can attend workshops and hear from the ground level what the ideas are of the commission, but people don't really know how to plug into that network. So for me, I vow to continue to have regular contact with our residents, whether it's through coffee chats, meeting at Payne Park or Arlington Park for walks where we casually talk about ways that they can get involved. It could be through online access, through e-blast that the city does in directing our residents to get signed up, and also just regular meetings with our neighborhood associations to keep them aware as to important things that they may want to, you know, take notice of.
In your experience, what are some reasons that people don't seem to utilize the city commission to, you know, have their voice heard?
I think it's not that they don't. I think some are just not informed as to how. And so my job is to answer the how, to answer the question as to how you can become engaged. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, you know, residents may have questions and they just don't know who to go to. It may be a question that's best for utilities if they have a problem with their water bill, or they may have a question about there's not enough lighting in their parks and they don't know how to navigate the city system. So I see my role in part is to educate our residents as to how they have access to the services and to people that can get those questions asked. The other thing is just doing a better job on an individual commissioner level to best communicate wherever possible actions that are coming before the commission. Of course, you know, there's only so much that a sitting commissioner can do. It has to be done in the open as to not violate sunshine laws, but using resources that are in place to draw people to those networks so that they don't miss out on opportunities. And access is one of the key themes of our campaign. And as we've talked to residents, we've seen that it's not necessarily that individuals are apathetic. They just don't know how to go about navigating the process.
Yeah. Have you talked to very many people who feel like they've tried working through the city commission, but they're not being heard or respected in that venue? Or is it just a matter of knowing about it in the first place?
Well, part of it is for individuals that don't know how to navigate the system, you know, educating them and pointing them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Then there are other residents that have concerns, such as I, in terms of making sure that there's public input at every part of the decision-making process. Mm-hmm. One of the prime areas where I think that we can talk about some revisions or new ideas is in the area of development. I don't know whether you've been following, but we had a really major development decision in our district as it related to the parcel of land at Bonivra and Fruitville. And there was a proposed amendment to rezone that parcel of land so that it could be used to develop a commercial space. It's currently zoned as a park. And so what happened is that in the beginning of the process, the developer that was interested in that parcel, there had been a lot of communication with the city in advance, and the public wasn't brought in until later in the discussion. And so some residents felt like had they known earlier where there was an interest in developing the land, that they could have voiced their concerns at an earlier time. And fortunately, the city unanimously voted to not amend the zoning ordinance so that it can't be changed. Mm-hmm. But that's just a symptom of the problem of access and public access early in the process, in my opinion. Yeah. So that's one area that I'd like to see changed in terms of, you know, when an individual is interested in buying a parcel of property that has a major effect, whether it's a zoning amendment or something else in the quality of life of our residents, that we be brought into the picture as soon as possible. For that particular parcel, it serves as a buffer to the neighborhoods that are behind it. And they were critically concerned about the additional light, the additional noise, the traffic, the congestion, and how that would affect their quality of life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in place, you know, if appointed or if elected, to advocate to make sure that that process is rethought so that if another person comes to the table, that we don't have a same situation.
Yeah, and not having a park, you know. And
exactly. Well, I mean, you're changing a green space. You are eliminating a buffer. Under this proposal, there were several millions of dollars that would have had to been generated for the purpose of widening lanes for traffic to handle the new traffic flow. And it just wasn't the best place for that development to occur.
I guess in terms of Sarasota's future economic development, what do you feel like is really important in that process?
Well, I think in terms of economic development, you know, backing up a step, we've got to make fiscally responsible decisions from a city standpoint. We are at a point now where there are some budget challenges that the city is having to face. And so in order for us to be able to attract, you know, high quality, you know, partnerships, we need to make sure that we come from a balanced budget perspective. So I think that's the first goal that we have in terms of economic development. You know, development is different in different parts of the city. If you're looking at District 2, their development picture is a lot different with the Bayfront 2020 plan. That has a different impact than the residents in my district, which is more neighborhood oriented. So when you talk about development, you can't talk about it in a vacuum because each part of our city is different and has different things to offer and also different challenges. So I think we have to be open-minded, you know, when people come to the table. And if there are opportunities for development, you know, that have an economic incentive or could possibly create some employment opportunities, then those are all things that, you know, are positive that we should examine very carefully.
If elected to the city commission, what kinds of topics do you want to bring up?
Well, we've talked about development. That's a critical topic that we're going to address on a long-term basis. You know, any city that's going to grow has to grow. So we're going to have to talk about development, but it needs to be smart and it needs to be controlled. And we need to take into account where the development is supposed to occur and what the impacts are on the residents directly and the community. You know, I'm grateful for an endorsement that we received from the Realtor Association of Sarasota and Manatee Counties. And one of the things that we talked about is balance growth in ways that we can look at both affordable housing and economic generation. And one of the things that they deal with is, you know, in terms of being able to have opportunities for individuals that want to move into our community, because everyone loves Florida and they're coming down from all parts of the world. And so we've got to look at affordable housing. We've got to look at mixed use development. We have to look at sensible growth in residential areas, and then economic growth, you know, in commercial areas. And so that's a conversation that we've got to continue to have. You know, we've talked about, you know, what does affordable housing mean? And that depends on who you ask. You know, if you live downtown, affordable housing could be several thousand dollars a month. If you live, you know, in other neighborhood areas, maybe that's not the case. You know, we have some that move down, you know, that are retired and, you know, are living on pensions, you know, and incomes, and they may not have the same opportunities as some of the other growing business people that have additional capital, but we don't want to have to turn anyone away if we can continue to make our city one that's growing and thriving and that welcomes everyone. So that's one area that we'd like to address. Another, of course, is the homeless crisis that we are, you know, in right now, and that has been a long-term problem, and unfortunately, it seems like we have some piecemeal solutions. And so I'm looking at having a broader conversation as to, you know, what happens in terms of, you know, homelessness and individuals that may be displaced from housing but not necessarily chronically homeless. And just like affordable housing, you can define homeless in a lot of different ways. There are those that, you know, are just transitional homeless. There are families that, because of, you know, foreclosure issues, they are having to transition to additional housing, but they're temporarily without housing. There are those that may have mental health and substance abuse issues that may find themselves chronically homeless. And then we have our veteran population. And so it's going to take public-private partnerships. It's going to take investing some dollars to have our resource partners in place, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's the mental health community, whether it's our doctors and our health community. We all have to come together. And it's not just a city issue, as you know. It's an entire Sarasota County issue.
Okay. And, yeah, I saw that you've done a ton of great work in Newtown. And I was wondering if that none of your district really includes Newtown, but how do you intend to sort of maybe keep topics that are important for multiple areas in the city? You know, how do you intend to like bring those to the commission regardless of sort of where they're coming from?
Right. Well, with regard to, you know, where I've worked, I've had the benefit of living in District 3 and owning and working and having an office in District 1. And I've worked throughout the entire community. You know, a lot of my responsibilities on the city side has related to the Human Resource Commission and the CRA board, but my work has expanded. I'm a pro bono attorney for the Women's Resource Center of Sarasota County. Oh, okay. That's within our district at District 3. And we work with women in various stages of crisis, whether it be housing, whether it be health care, whether it be counseling needs, you know, whether it be shelter, to kind of navigate them to resources. I also serve as a mentor for Take Stock in Children and work with the YMCA Y Achievers Program. And so those are citywide initiatives where I've been able to work with individuals across the county. And so it's the same desire that residents have in terms of having access to services, being able to have a say-so in what happens in their community, so that translates across the board. So I use those skills and those networks to be able to collaborate and bring people to the table, so that when it's time to expand those public-private partnerships, I have a lot of relationships that I think are critical to starting the conversation. As a former assistant state attorney, I was with the state attorney's office for nearly 6 years, and of course, as you know, that's a city-county job, and we get the benefit of working with a lot of stakeholders, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's, you know, the school board, whether it's mental health agencies, whether it's, you know, homeless agencies like the Salvation Army or Coastal Recovery for Mental Health, have a lot of experiences where I've been able to bridge some very important partnerships. And so those are ways that will allow me to be able to have some good conversations on behalf of the city.
And what about, I saw that you had worked for the school board, too, at some point?
Well, I work with the Law Academy at Booker High School, and that's another gem in our community that is a countywide opportunity. Booker High School is a magnet high school in Sarasota County that happens to be located in District 1. However, because of the VPA Arts Program, the phenomenal work that they're doing, and now with the new Law Academy, students from across Sarasota County have the options to come in and participate in a four-year curriculum. They gives them insight not only into criminal law, but to constitutional law and legal principles. And so if they are interested in having careers in law and law enforcement, we have judges, we have attorneys, we have law enforcement, we have corrections officers, we have the forensic science community that's all coming together to serve as facilitators and to bring programming to a high school in Sarasota County. So we are so excited about that. So I've been able to work with the committee from the ground stages to get that off the ground, so that our students will go to college, go to law school, and come back and live and work in our communities. It's going to affect economic development. It's going to improve quality of life. It's going to keep young professionals in our community. It's a win-win for everybody.
All right. Is there anything else that you want to include that you hadn't had a chance to speak to yet?
Well, yeah. You know, I just want to kind of tell our listeners, you know, a lot of people may, you know, want to know, you know, why is Shelley running for District 3? And the reason that I'm running for District 3 is that we have seen, unfortunately, a decline in leadership when it comes to being able to handle complex problems. As a practicing attorney, I have the skill set with critical analysis, reading complex documents, being able to analyze the law, ask tough questions, moderate, and mediate in tough situations and problem solve to be able to take the city commission or to have a part in taking our city to the next level over the next 4 years. We're going to be grappling with some terribly complex issues, as we've discussed, and it needs strong leadership on the commission. My work in the community, my advocacy for whether it's youth or seniors or working class, has expanded for the entire decade that I've lived in our community. And I want to be the one that stands up and asks the tough questions and make sure that residents and homeowners are kept first. Our seniors are such a tremendous part of our community, and there are issues sometimes that our senior community has, whether it relates to, you know, being able to handle a sky-high utility bill, or navigating streets that need to be repaved, or dealing with transportation issues and parking issues because it's so tough to park downtown and other parts of our community, or even just being concerned about green space and parks. You know, we need someone who has fresh ideas, who is in tune with the vision of our community, and that will stand up and say what needs to happen. I don't have any alliances. My alliance is to our community and making sure that we go forward and that there's proper representation. So I'm honored to be able to serve and to move forward, and we're hoping to have the support of the residents of the community. And to know that this is not only a District 3 seat, but this is a district that sits and has a voice in what happens in all of Sarasota. And so we are just thankful to have that opportunity. One final thing we wanted to mention is that we do have a meet and greet that's coming up this coming Monday, and it's on February the 23rd at 5 o'clock, and it's called a campaign eat and greet. So we're going to meet, but we're also going to eat and greet, and it's at the Queen of Sheba restaurant. They're located at 4195 North Tamiami Trail, and if they want to call to RSVP, they can contact our website, which is www.s is in Sam, F is in Frank, E is in Edward, the number 4, district, the number 3.net. So that's SFE 4 district 3.net, and they can get more information about our event that's coming up.
What time did you say the meet and greet was?
It's from 5 to 7. Yeah, and it's this Monday, the 23rd.
I love Queen of Sheba. It's a great restaurant.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm very excited. So it's a time for us to be able to share on social, you know, and kind of meet some new faces. So we're really excited about that.
Well, thank you for coming in today and talking with me.
Thank you.
You can find out more about candidate Shelly Eddy's meet and greet event at www.sfe4district3.net. That was the second interview in our series of interviews with the Sarasota City Commission candidates. You can find this full interview and this past Wednesday's with Stan Zimmerman on the Jumping Mullet Reports podcast at WSLR's website. Tune into the Jumping Mullet Report next Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the next interview. And don't forget that early voting is on March 2nd. Regular voting on March 10th, and that you can vote by mail anytime leading up to then. For more information on the elections, candidates, and polling locations, please visit the Supervisor of Elections website at www.sarasotavotes.com.